In the first epistle of John, the fourth chapter, 17th verse, a statement that rarely is mentioned or noticed. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. As he is, so are we in this world. If you have a spiritual consciousness, you quickly are aware of a material consciousness when it presents itself to you. You can quickly see that an individual is unaware of the spiritual nature of being, the spiritual nature of law, the spiritual nature of reality. And the word that usually comes to your mind is unenlightened, unaware, and sometimes the word ego. You can see the ego of an individual, and it's a normal, nice human ego. It's all concerned about itself. It's totally unaware that now are we as he is. And who is this he? The Spirit of God, the Christ of God. And when we are not being that now as he is, what are we? We're outside of reality. We're making all our plans, we're buzzing around with ideas and thoughts and dreams, and always we're hoping to attain or become that which he tells us we already are. And so when you're not in truth, you're trying to become what you already are. You're trying to become healthy. You're trying to become secure. You're trying to become that which Christ is. Christ is healthy. Christ is secure. But you see, the difference is you're concentrating on this lifespan. And so if you are in medicine or psychology, or even many highly rated forms of science, what you're concentrating on is this lifespan. You're not concentrating on being what you are. What you are is the eternal. And when you are not concentrating on being the eternal, you are shutting it out. And so you find that most every person on the earth today, no matter how devout, in words or energies or tithing, most everyone is rejecting God. They are rejecting the God which is the self of every being. It makes no difference if you put out a $2 million tombstone. You are never going to lie in that tombstone. Now we have been taught again by Paul that all hope is in the unseen. Hope is not in what you see, but in the unseen. Meaning, what you see is not of God. And that which is unseen of God is ever present. Now, let's extend ourselves beyond this earth span. Let's leave that to psychologists. Let's leave that to the medical profession. Let's leave it to the astrologer. Let's leave it to all of the ologies and isms in the world. We are not going to be fractional beings. We are not going to be beings who began at a date and end at a date, with the hope that after that date we're put in some happy mausoleum. We learn in this work to accept that I exist not in time. And the moment I make the mistake of thinking I do, that's my tombstone. You don't have to wait for cement. The minute you're in time, you're buried in time. That is the prisoner. Mankind is imprisoned in the illusion of time, spinning out and spinning out that which never is, while denying that which is already. John tells us that we are now as he is, and in an earlier passage where he tells us, now are we the sons of God, he tells us we simply haven't come yet to that realization, but it's the truth. Daniel tells us way back, let me see if I can find the note on Daniel, way back here in the 12th verse of Daniel, in the 12th chapter, the 2nd verse, Daniel makes a statement about the same thing, but in a different way. I'd like to find it because I think it bears good relevance to what we're doing. Chapter 12, verse 2. And incidentally, the entire 12th chapter of Daniel is a very close parallel to many things in the Revelation of John. Many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Them that sleep in the dust of the earth. The dust of the earth means materialism. Those who believe in material realities are sleeping in the dust of the earth. But some shall awake. And awakening means to awaken out of the belief in materialism and all of the things that go with it. Now, one of the invisibles that go with materialism is time. If you have accepted that atoms are the substance of the box and that God didn't make atoms because it's very clear that there are atoms that are disease, atoms that are germs, atoms that are floods, atoms that are fire, atoms that are destructive, then there's no box. Now, take that and transfer it to two boxes and place the boxes 100 feet apart. And now how much time do you require to walk from one box to the other? If the boxes aren't there, is there time between them? If time is in this world and this world is not the kingdom, is it counterfeit or real? Now, for those of you who are scientifically minded, I'd like you to see how time comes into being. It's quite simple. It's the relationship between the supposed speed of one group of atoms to the supposed speed of another group. The ratio causes time. And that's really all there is to it. Two invisible illusions cause a third. The speed of your eyeballs, their atoms, and the speed of an object somewhere else reaches a conclusion called time. So you say it takes 1 hour to go from here to there. But there's no there in God. There's only here. Everything is here in God. You're just going through in time what already is the reality in the invisible of no time. Your consciousness is moving a form, an image. Time is discussed very well and very carefully in the parenthesis in eternity. And you should read that chapter, Beyond Time and Beyond Space. We're going to have to continue our study of time until those of us who are ready can confidently say, time cannot fool me any longer. It's an invisible ingredient in everything in this world. When the soul of a poet says, all the world's a stage and we are merely the players, that stage is not only the invisible atom, it is the invisible time relationships caused by our reaction to the invisible atom. And on the stage of time and atoms, we build visible space. We don't exist. That's our stage. And then we are the controlled players. Because having accepted that which is not, we now walk in that is not. And we are godless, but we know it not. And the law of God, the power of God, the protection of God, the peace and security and freedom and everlastingness of God are separated from the natural mind which walks on the stage of time and space. The newness of the illusions at first seems very forbidding, but actually they're all part of the key to your access to yourself. No one is going to take you into yourself except yourself. Nowhere are you going to learn truth in time and in space. You're going to have to enter your own invisibility. And when you do, it will be walking through the illusion of time and space into the reality of now and here. To God, all is now and all is here. To Christ, all is now and all is here. To the invisibility of your own being, all is now and all is here, and you've got to learn to live in that. You've got to learn to meditate with it, to appreciate its meanings, and to see how it shatters the sense illusions that we have all lived in. Then we will find the life which is independent of the form, and that life will continue as the afterlife. The very life you find becomes your afterlife. It continues right on through every illusion. In Malachi, the last prophet in the book, we have this beautiful phrase, also generally unnoticed, and that is, in the third verse, third chapter, the sixth verse, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. I am the Lord, I change not. Now, the substance of your being, the essence of you, is I am. I am the Lord. I change not. This is the refutation of the theory of time, which we have all taken for granted. In time we change. When time is obliterated from consciousness, our house is cleansed. Nothing is held out. Then the I am that you are, which changes not, is seen to be eternal, and you have found life. Now that can be your consciousness right now. That is where we're going to learn to dwell. And we'll find that time does not march on. Time does not pass. We can even go back to 20 or 30 years ago and say there was no time then. And there was no cause then other than God. So you can get rid of all your past accidents in time just as in the present and in the so-called future. The only cause has ever been I am, the Spirit of God. There was no cause yesterday other than the cause that is now. And there will be no cause tomorrow other than the cause that is now. And this cause I am. And I am perfect self. And therefore I am perfect cause. And therefore I am perfect effect. And if you never let go of this perfect cause now, you will realize it is always functioning, has always been functioning, and always will function. And this is the continuity of now, wherever you go. Then your consciousness is resting in the one, abiding. There were two gods mentioned by Plato. These gods controlled man in the inner and man in the outer. Man was usually buffeted between these two gods. His outer self was one god, his inner self was another. And only when he forfeited the outer could he find the inner. That's the same as Paul saying, your god is a murderer and a liar from the start. There must be another god then. That God is the very God of your own being. Now I'd like to suggest then that for this week we take the subject of time and learn to erase our belief in it sufficiently so that we can say, just as God in the 20th century is God in the first and God in the 40th century, so my spirit is now spirit in the first century, spirit in the 20th, and spirit in the 40th. There is no place in time where my spirit does not exist now. Place your spirit in the eternal and see that time is the counterfeit of the world mind about your eternal spirit. Let your spirit stretch out to cover all the corridors of past, present, and future time, all of them existing now, in any direction of time your spirit now is. And so time isn't passing in your spirit, it's only passing in the limited human consciousness, the finite, which cannot receive the infinite and therefore thinks time is there. As the finite becomes conscious of more and more and more, the supposition of time is invented. But if that consciousness were not finite and limited, there would be no time. And the divine consciousness is present and is the only real consciousness. It is not finite. It does not look at fractions. Accepting God, you must accept the divine consciousness as well. Where you appear to be, God is conscious, and that is divine consciousness there, and it does not live in the fractional passing picture. It is before Abraham. It is unto the end of the world. To know this divine consciousness now as present is to reject, to renounce, to refuse to accept that there is another consciousness present than the consciousness of God. That's your meditation for the week. Only the consciousness of God is present, and in it there is no pictures in passing time. No picture in passing time is present in the divine consciousness now. No fragment, nothing limited and finite, nothing that begins and ends. That's where the illusion of time fools us all. We have things that begin and end in it, and it's beginning and ending in a time that does not exist. There's no place for anything to begin. There's no place for anything to end. Only the eternal is present in divine consciousness. That is a new kind of faith. That is accepting that I am the Lord and I never change. I don't begin here and end there. I don't grow, I don't progress, I don't deteriorate. I am always the perfect self, and beside me there is no other. Accept this for yourself. Accept this for every inhabitant of your city. And when you feel the rightness of it, you may be very close to that illumination which pierces the veil of time. Now, those of you who live in Santa Cruz, you have that responsibility. Those of you who live in another city may join. And when there is an activity in your city unlike the Spirit of God, we'll be happy to join with you. But you'll find you can function to diminish crime, to diminish accidents, to diminish diseases, to diminish the unreal activities that appear to be taking place in your city. But only if you have found the secret of living outside of time. Then that which happens in time has nothing to feed it in your consciousness. Cannot externalize, because you have admitted the law of spirit into consciousness. If you live in Santa Cruz, it would be wise for you not to do this always together, but one to say, I'll take this time, and another to say, I'll take that time, so you're in a rotating basis, so you're covering the day. Each of you be a one. Work it out as a group. Cover the day. And if you have 2 hours of it, meditate once or twice in those 2 hours, and then the next 2 hours someone else, until you feel that all through the day and the night someone is knowing the truth in your city. And you will see the headlines change. And those of us who are not in your city will stand with you. I know I shall, and I'm sure many shall, in the knowledge that there is only the consciousness of God. There is no other activity. Nothing can happen outside the consciousness of God, which is infinite. And all that happens in the consciousness of God is perfect. The invisible atom, the invisible time surfacing into material conditions, loses its foothold. Your consciousness is purified of the lie, and your purified consciousness becomes the instrument for the activity of spiritual law in your city. The floods all began again when Joel left Hawaii. Let's get to that point where the city we live in is showing more and more of the divine consciousness that we are faithfully upholding. And then as you do this, you're going to learn more than you can read in any book. But look at time and space, in parenthesis and eternity. It's not easy. From it you will discover why Joel could write another book called Consciousness Unfolding. What are you as a human being? You are the result of your invisible consciousness. It unfolds as you. And then the world mind unfolds through your consciousness, through you, into your world. Clearly, the quality of your consciousness determines what you're going to experience. This is a test of that capacity in you to be the living divine seed, or one who insists on falling by the wayside as a mortal being. Everything you have must be given to the truth. If you still have some human plans, this isn't for you. That's not trusting in the divine plan. If you still have ideas of human betterment, you have missed the point. Nothing can be withheld in the mystical work. In this mystical work, we accept the divine consciousness as the only, and we totally trust it to fulfill itself, so that we make no human decisions. We do not follow our human will or our human concepts. We're willing to abandon all and say, Father, thy will alone in me I trust to be functioning now, and I am cleansing my house completely of all human belief to make your will in me a clear, vital, living instrument without a second will. And that will I trust to fulfill the divine plan in me. If it wants me to be a successful builder, I'll be one. If it wants me to sleep in a cave or meditate in a cave, I'll be that. If it wants me to pick up and go somewhere, I'll do that. Whatever it wills, it will do, and the body image will go forth under that divine will. But the body image will never obey the divine will if there are two wills, if there's something withheld. Let's look again at Act number 5. See what happens to the man's wife. Ananias, hearing these words, fell down, gave up the ghost. Great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. Now that's telling us that human life ends. It doesn't go to heaven. That's as clear cut as can be. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter said, answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold a land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. And then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? You see the emphasis on together? That means that if your mind is in one place, your body is going to do the same. Wherever your consciousness is, that's where your body's going to be. If your consciousness is in the spirit, that's where your body's going to be. If your consciousness is in matter, that's what your body is going to be. The body is a slave or servant of the consciousness. And so the man and wife here conspired together. One was body and one was mind. How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. The young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. The mind buries the body. The material consciousness buries the material body. I don't think anyone can doubt that. The spiritual consciousness does not bury the body. It resurrects us from the sense of body. That spiritual consciousness is your acceptance of the divine consciousness where you are as the only consciousness you will call your own. Now, the moment you turn away from that into a human consciousness and start puttering about with your plans, your ideas, your will, your desires, what happens here to Sapphira and Ananias happens to all of us. And all you've got to do is look back. That's what's happened. Here it's instantaneous. With us, it just takes 10, 20, 30, 40 more years. Material consciousness buries the body. Divine consciousness resurrects us. In time, we're in material consciousness. You see the hidden enemy? In time, we're in material consciousness, because there's nothing in time except matter. They're interwoven. When you accept matter, you're accepting time. They're one and the same, appearing in different ways. One appears visibly, one is invisibly. They're twins. The moment you accept matter, you've stepped into time. You've stepped out of now. Practice that now. Now is God. Now watch how easily something can take your mind away from that knowledge. Now is God. Whatever takes you away is taking you out of now. Now, can you continue about your activities while holding into the consciousness that now is God? That is what you've got to learn to do. Yes, I'm going to the grocery store. Now is God, but I'm still going to the grocery store with the knowledge that now is God. It's not going to take me any time to do this, because I am not the one going to the grocery store. That's the body image your consciousness sends forth to the grocery store. You're in the now is God while the body image is going to the grocery store. You can think of many things in this world that are just as difficult, but you master them. And you've got to master that now is God, no matter what your body image is going about doing. There must remain that consciousness of the nowness of God, never letting go, until it's your permanent consciousness. For in the nowness of God, in consciousness, that spins out as activity, divine activity. It spins out as health. It spins out as wealth. It spins out as the things you see in this world. And they are under divine government. Now is God, is the kingdom of God realized, from which the grace that is your sufficiency flows. If you're not in the consciousness of now is God, you can be one speck away and it's all lost. Now is God in Santa Cruz. Now is God in your home. Now is God where the enemy appears to be. Now is God where conditions appear to be unfavorable. Now is God, with no exception anywhere. Now is God where my body appears to be. Now is God where my heart is beating, where my lung is breathing. Now is God where my foot is walking. Now is God, now is holy ground, everywhere. And this is consciousness, not quotations. That consciousness can only externalize as the qualities of God made manifest. Now, are we the sons of God? But if we don't know it, if we don't live it, if we're not conscious of it, time steals in. The atom steals in. The relationships in time of the atom steal in. The hypnosis begins to weave its magical lie. And we drift away from now is God into mortality. As far as Santa Cruz is concerned, I'll join you at 8 o'clock in the evening for a week. But you should be meditating through the day. And those of us in the class who want to join those people up there at 8 o'clock in the night, this is our world work in the consciousness that now is God. There is no external to God, and there is no external to the Spirit of God in you. Santa Cruz for you does not exist out there. It's just an idea in the cosmic mind coming through you. Meet it where it comes through. What is it? As it comes through, ask yourself, what is this? Santa Cruz. When did God make that? It's just the group consciousness which has established an external appearance called city. All that is there is my Father's Spirit. And that is what is here, here and there, one spirit. Rest in the one spirit now. That'll be the nature of our 8 p.m. work and of the individual work of those of you who are going to accept this assignment. Don't ever think that we're talking about a hereafter. We're talking about the divine now, always. Now, one of the gods of Plato is dead for us, and that's the outer god, the god of this world, the mortal mind that men have worshipped under the belief they were worshipping God, the sense mind, the sensations of that sense mind, based upon invisible atoms in time that are not there. And then there is a quickening. You are quickened, and this, according to Paul, is the redemption of the body. Spirit quickens and redeems the body, meaning we lose the false body consciousness. The quickening flashes through the veil. The readjustment, the new appearance of harmony, is the quickening in your consciousness brought into visibility on a panoramic scale. Only when you are still is there a quickening. One more word to those of you who are meditating unsuccessfully. You have not come to spirit pure. I don't mean that you're a sinner or immoral I mean that you have brought human thought. You cannot come to spirit with human thought. And there are all these remnants that cling to us that we don't even know about. Things that push us out of position so that we have these little concerns nagging at us. You can't come to spirit that way. It won't let you. You've got to come to spirit with an empty consciousness. Nothing in there about your world, about your hopes and your dreams and your concerns and your fears and your doubts. Unless they're all cleansed out before you come to the meditation, there is no meditation. It's just an exercise in futility. You must come in pure. You must drop all you have. Even for the one meditation, you must sell all thou hast. It's a total surrender, a total abandonment of me. And then you'll find you're in meditation. We've covered the non-reality of the atom. We have started on the non-reality of time. We want to come to a place where time and space for you cease to have power to lure you, to tempt you, to fool you. That leads to a place where you are, you become conscious of infinity itself. So that for you, the infinite universe is always where you are. No matter where you happen to be, the universe is. And all time is. All space is. So that Santa Cruz is no longer out there, it's right where you are, no matter where you are. So that any part of the globe is where you are, because spirit is always where you are. Now we're cleansing our house the same way we want to do that when we come to meditation. We're unknowing the lie about space and unknowing the lie about time. There is no time going back to 2,000 years ago. There is no time going ahead. There is no future. There is only now. And similarly, there is no space anywhere. These are all mental concepts we entertain about that which spirit is. And only by routing out the lies of space and time do you come to the isness of being everywhere and everywhere being where you are. We're transcending the world in slow degrees. Now your practice in between lessons is vital to this, otherwise you'll just be trying to live with quotations. We're after experience. Make the effort to throw away your human concepts in these actual exercises. And if you find some measure of light, you'll know that you have done that, and you will be led to higher things. Don't matter now if it seems insurmountable. It did to the disciples, but they learned. They learned so well that they could say, "We are now giving up this tabernacle." They knew just what they were doing when everything fell into position. And it will fall into position if you make the effort to meditate on the non-reality of time. And even if you can't understand it and make the effort, you'll find new knowledge bursting forth from your effort, maybe the next day or the next. My own experience has been that many times there was no light, but the accumulation of the effort to know eventually brings the light, most times unexpectedly. Then you find all of the apparently unrewarding work has really been burrowing underneath and adding up to this moment of truth in which you can see that if you hadn't done all the work, the light would never have come. You will know there is no time, and you will know there is no space, and you will know there is no atom, and you will know that the body is an image you're projecting, but only if you carefully do the work in the silence of your being. Each of these building blocks each week is leading to another block for the second and third week to follow, so be sure to try to keep pace, otherwise you're going to lag behind. Thanks again.